We're going to be talking on today about loving one another. Loving one another. Can you all hear me okay? Okay. While you all are eating, I've got to work. And that just doesn't sound right. But again, Dan and Dave and to the elders, thank you for the invitation to be here. And it's my prayer that what I'm going to share with you in this time will be an encouragement to you. If you have your copy of God's Word, the Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. And I want to read verse number 5, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 5. And listen to what Paul has to say to us in verse number 5. He says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." What he's saying in this text is that the church is the body. And the body is made up of many members. And those many members are members one of another. And what he means by one of another is that we have an obligation to each other. And what I want to do in this afternoon presentation is talk about three obligations we have to one another. Today, to love one another. Tomorrow, to exalt one another. And on Wednesday, to serve one another. We have an obligation in the church to one another, and that is to make sure that we love one another. Amen? Amen. Why is this so important? Why is it so important that we love one another? Just think about this. In America, 50% of marriages end by divorce. Why? Because people stop what? Loving one another. I know of people who have worked together side by side for 20 years. They don't speak anymore. Why? Because they don't love each other anymore. I know church members who've gone to church with one another for 15 or more years. One person will leave church because they can't get along with someone. Friendships have ended because people have ceased with their ability to love one another. And so this afternoon, I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage myself as a body, as a member of the body of Christ, to take the time to understand and to learn what it means to love one another. What does it mean to love one another? Two things. Number one is to love others more than you love yourself. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Especially in this society when we're taught to love whom? Uno. Love self more than anybody else. But Jesus, realizing the importance, he said, "Sammy, love others more than you love yourself." In Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, Jesus was talking to a lawyer, a Pharisee, who came to him tempting him. And he says, "Master, what are the greatest commandments?" And Jesus says, "There are two great commandments. You know them. The first one is to love the Lord thy God, how? With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And then he says the second greatest commandment in the world, other than loving God with your whole being, is to love your neighbor. You know who your neighbor is? Others. Love others like you love whom? Yourself. Love others more than you love yourself. And so Jesus puts importance on learning to love one another. Love one another means to love others more than you love yourself, but it also means to love others unconditionally. That means when people mistreat you, you still what? When people talk about you, you still what? When people abuse you and misuse you, you still what? Love them. And so Jesus, on this subject of loving one another, ranks that up there with loving God. Love God with all your heart, but make sure that you love one another, that you love others. Now, what I want to do with the time that's left is share with you two points. Two points. Here's point number one. And that is, why? Why should we love one another? Why should we step up? Why do we need to love one another? Three reasons why. Three reasons why we need to in the church. Three reasons why we need to in this world love one another. Turn to John chapter 13. Look at verse 35. Here's the first reason. The first reason why we need to love one another is because this is the best way. This is the most effective way to show the world that we're Christians. Did you hear what I just said? The best way I can show the world that I'm a Christian is to love my brothers and sisters. Amen? Because people are more concerned not with so much what we teach as how we live. Amen? So the best way I can show the world, and the best way that we can show the world that we're changed people is when we come together, the body of believers, is to love one another. And when people come to our congregations and they see we love one another, guess what? They want to be a part of that. They want to be a part of where people love one another. And listen what Jesus says in John 13, 35. He says, by this. By what? By the way we love one another. The world will come to know that you are truly my disciples. And so why should we love one another? This is the best way. This is the most effective way to show the world that we're Christians. Because people forget what we teach, but people remember how we treat one another and how we live. And so I encourage you today to make up in your mind, I'm going to love my brothers and sisters. I'm going to love them more than how I love myself. You see, Rhonda and I have been able to keep our marriage together for 34 years because it took me a long time to learn to love Rhonda more than Sammy. Because in my marriage, it was Sammy first. And I realized that if I'm going to keep my marriage together, I had to die to Sammy. And it has to be about Rhonda. And the same way in the church. And if the church where you are a member is going to be a great church, then members need to die to self and love others more than they love self. And when people come in and they feel that, did you hear what I just said? They sense that and they see that. Guess what? They're going to want to come back. Because people want to be a part of something where people are real, where people are genuine. And so the first reason I tell you that we need to love one another, it is the badge of discipleship. It is the best way. It is the most effective way to show the world that we're Christians. The second reason that we need to love one another is to be like our Father. It's to be like God. You know, Dan is a great man. But I want y'all all to want to be better than Dan. Amen? Be better than Dan. Dave is a great man, but I want you to be better than Dave. The elders here are great men, but I want you to be better than these men. And so set your goal not to be like Dan, but to be like God. God is what? Love. And we are to love one another. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 11, God, the Bible says, and God so loved us. And God so loved us. We ought to love one another. If God so loved us, we ought to want to be like God. So therefore, we ought to what? Love one another. And then in verse 20 of that chapter, he goes on to say, Sammy, how can you say you love God and you what? Hate your brother. How can you say you love God? Is there someone in your congregation? Is there someone in your town? Is there someone that you don't love who is made in God's image? I ought to love everybody. Amen. There's no man, there's no woman, there's no person on this earth that I ought not to love. Why? God loves everybody. And therefore, I need to learn to love one another, to love others, so that I can be like God. My goal in life is to become more like God every day. And that means I got to learn to love people that have said things about me that they shouldn't have said, that have abused me, that have taken advantage of me. But it's not for me to worry about that. God will take care of that. My job is just keep on loving. Think about the person. Now, this may be difficult for some of you, but most of you in here, there's somebody right now that you don't love. Think about it. Is there a person that you just, if you had one person you can annihilate from this earth, who would it be? If God granted you one wish to just eliminate one person, who would it be? You got that person. Today, I want to challenge you to love that person. I want to challenge you today to even call that person and tell them that God loves them. You know, you laugh at that. But I gave myself a challenge to do that several years ago. There was a person that I had had bad feelings for many, many years. And one day, I called the man up. He did something to me many, many years ago that really hurt me, and I don't want to go into it. And if I had died, I would have lost my soul because I despised this person. And then one day, I said, I need to let that go. And I called him up. And I told him about the incident, and he remembered it. And I told him that I loved him, and he said, Sammy, I remember what I did. He said, and I just said, brother, I just need to let you know that I've had bad feelings for you for many years. And we mended our fences. And today, he's a good friend of mine. I challenge you to let go. Love one another. It is the badge of discipleship. It really shows the world you're Christian when you can love one another. You can love everybody. It shows that you're striving to become like Christ. You're going to be better than the next person to you, next to you. You're going to be better than anybody. You're going to be like God. But then there's a third reason. There's a third reason you need to love one another. Turn to John chapter 13. Look back at verse 34. Turn to John chapter 15. Look at verse number 12. And look at John chapter 15. Look at verse number 17. And notice in these three verses, he says, I give you a new commandment. I give you a commandment. John 13, 34, John 15, 12, John 15, 17. What is the new commandment? That you what? Love one another. And what Jesus is saying, that this is what I expect of my disciples. If you're going to be a follower of mine, Sammy, you need to have the ability to love one another. If you want to be a true disciple, if you want to be a true disciple of Christ, you need to develop the ability. You need to spend some time on your knees and say, God, help me to get rid of resentment. Help me to get rid of jealousy and envy. Help me to rid myself of those things that would keep me from loving my brother or my sister completely with a pure heart. With a pure heart, as Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, to love them fervently. What do you mean by fervently? To love them deeply. To love them, the King James says, with unfeigned love. Unfeigned love means love them with real love instead of hypocritical love. That's the way God wants us. That's the way Jesus wants us. To love because it's a badge of discipleship. To love because we want to be like God. To love because Jesus expects that of us to be one of his disciples is to love one another. Now that we know why we ought to do it with the time left, let me tell you how to do it. Let me tell you how to put it into practice. Let me give you some insights on how to put this into practice. Number one, here's the first way you can do it. Learn to walk the talk. You know, a lot of us can talk the talk. No, walk the talk. You know, if someone was to stand up right now and say, that Rhonda Jones is a sorry, low down, good, no good woman. Now, that's my wife. Y'all pray for me, Brother Dan. I'm not a saint. Now, you start talking about my wife and I'm going to have to pray. And if you're a man, if she was here and you walked up and hit her, I'm going to think about that. I remember when my son was playing junior high basketball, my oldest son, Eric, and I was in the top bleachers. And there was this guy, he was huge, and Eric at that time must have weighed perhaps around 100 pounds. And that was this guy that weighed at least 240. And he ran back to hit Eric. I'm up in the bleachers. All of a sudden, they saw this guy with a just leap over everybody. You know what I'm saying? Leap over everybody. And I was down on the floor, and the official had to grab me. Not that I was going to hit him. I was just going to grab him and say, don't hit my son. Okay, all right. That was my intent, was to keep him from hitting my son. Well, what does it mean to walk the talk? What does it mean to walk the talk? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 43. Jesus says, Sammy, to be a disciple of mine, you need to love those who persecute you. You need to love those that hate you. You need to love those that say all manner of evil against you. You need to love those who mistreat you. Even those who will hit your children, even those who will abuse your family, even those who will criticize you and lie on you. He says you are to love everybody. Love your enemies. In the Old Testament, they were those people who were the enemy. It was okay to hate those. Hate those who hate you and love those who love you was the philosophy. Jesus says, my disciples would be different. We're going to love those who love us. And we're going to even love those who what? Hate us. We're going to love everybody. There is nobody in the world. Now, you want to see Jesus? Turn to Luke chapter 23. Look at Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33. Luke chapter 23, look at verse 33 and 34. And the Bible says when they had slapped him, when they had spit on him. Does anyone ever spit on you? About 2 months ago, my oldest son, he's a principal at a high school. And he said he summons a young man to his office. And the young man was cussing, and so he told the young man to calm down. And Eric said the young man stood up and spit in his face. And just spit in his face. And he said, young man, this is exactly what he said. He said, young man, I love you. Will you just calm down? He said, Dad, if that had been me 5 years ago, I would be in jail. But he changed. And that's what it's like. If someone was to walk up and spit in my face right now, I hope that I would respond in a nice way and say, God loves you. Yes. Well, he just spit in my face. That's degrading. Christians, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what someone has done to you. The circumstance does never give you an opportunity to do evil to others who have done evil to you. Do you hear what I just said? Jesus had been beaten. Jesus had been lied on. Jesus had been, they had spit on him. They have humiliated him. And listen to what the Bible says in verse 34. And when they had crucified him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus walked the talk. Jesus put into practice. He said, I'm not going to just tell you what it means to be a Christian, Sammy. I'm going to show you. And if he can do it, that's my goal in life, is to be like Jesus. And when someone says things about me, God help me to have the ability to keep my mouth closed. And not, if I can't say anything good, help me not to say anything at all. Amen? Amen. Did you hear what I just said? You see, that's a difficult thing to do. If someone was to walk up to you and say something degrading about you, the first thing we want to do is attack. But to be a Christian means that you zip it up and say, God, help me. Help me to think good thoughts. Because when you think good thoughts, what's going to come out of your mouth are encouraging words. I'm sorry that you feel that way about me. God, help me to love one another. Help me to love people. But then there's a second way we can put this into practice. It's not enough to walk the talk. We need to learn to love people who are different. We need to love people who are different. And one thing about this congregation here that I like at West Palm Beach, that it doesn't matter about your ethnicity. It doesn't matter about your race. And there are people who call themselves Christian who still haven't got over the racial issue or ethnic issue. But Jesus, turn to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus took an opportunity to teach his disciples that I expect you to love everybody. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets a woman at the well. It's 12 o'clock. And while he was at the well, the disciples, they were gone to buy some chicken from church's chicken. Okay? Jesus knew at 12 o'clock there was going to be a woman at the well. And he was not going to be able to have a theological discussion with Peter there saying, what do you mean talking to that lady? Does he know we don't talk to those people? So he sent Peter and the other disciples away. They were gone to get some chicken. And while they were gone, a lady came to the well. And she and Jesus had a discussion about their differences. You see, she was a Samaritan. She was a Samaritan. But what did the Jews call the Samaritans? Dogs. 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 And so Jesus knew that. But he had to deal something with this lady. And when he got through, look around verse 27. Around verse 27, the disciples came back from church's chicken. They've got their boxes and they've been smelling it. They've been walking 4 or 5 miles and they are hungry. And they come back with the chicken and they see Jesus talking with this lady. And nobody said anything to him, but the Bible said they were thinking in their mind, what does he mean talking to this lady? Does he know that we don't deal with those people? Does he know we don't talk to those people? And the lady left to go back to her city, to go back to tell the men that she had found the Messiah. These are Samaritans. They were half Jews. They were half Gentiles and half Jews. And so they were Samaritans. And so they also believed in Abraham. And so they also believed in the promise. They were looking for the Messiah. So she goes back to the city. She goes back to the city to tell the men to come. A man has told me everything I've ever done all my life. But what has she ever done all her life? She's had 7 husbands. And the one she was living with wasn't a husband. But that Jesus didn't deal with that lady. He told her that God is a spirit. And they that worship God must worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. And so she's gone back to get those men of the city. And while she's gone, the disciples began to sit around, began to eat the chicken. And they took the chicken over to Jesus and said, hey, here's your breast and a wing. And Jesus says, I don't want any. And somebody said, what does he mean? Did somebody bring him something to eat that we don't know of? You know, where did he get some chicken from? And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of my Father, which sent me. And around verse 35, look at verse 35. And around verse 35, Jesus says to his disciples as they're eating, do not say yet we have 4 months in the harvest. Don't say we have 4 months and the harvest is coming. Lift up your eyes. Oh, look, raise your head. And when they lifted up their heads from their plates, what did they see? Who did they see? Those Samaritan men that they had called dogs. That woman had gone back to get them. And Jesus says, don't you say you have 4 months in the harvest. Here's an opportunity for you men to lay aside your prejudice and love everybody. Look up. And when they looked up, they saw those Samaritan men being led by that woman. And guess what occurred that day? Look at verse 39. And because of that, many Samaritans believed. You want to continue to have an impact on the world? It's when people can come and see people of different nationalities and different races worshiping God, and we don't care about that your skin is darker or lighter. That's amazing. Amen. That's amazing. We don't care about your race. We don't care about your ethnicity. We see beyond race. You don't see me as a black man. You see me as a Christian. I don't see you as a Hispanic. I see you as a Christian. I don't see you as a Caucasian. I see you as a Christian. That's what Jesus expects me to see beyond a skin color of a person. That's what he means by love one another. Boy, wouldn't that make America a great nation? Wouldn't it be great
If we can look beyond this, and Jesus says, your culture, Sammy, does not tell you how to treat people. Your culture doesn't tell you how to speak to people and talk to people. You don't use those derogatory terms. Why? Because you're better than the world. You're better than the world. God help me to love. Let's go to a third example of how we can love one another. You see, it's not enough to be able to walk to talk. It's not enough to be able to look beyond the color of a person's skin. The third thing is be able to love someone regardless of the number of times they have done you wrong. Boy, that's a challenge there. If you don't believe that, get married. Okay? That's a challenge. There's nobody that can make you mad like your husband or your wife. Nobody. I'm telling the truth. There's nobody that can get under my skin like Rhonda. There's nobody that can get under your skin like the people that you love the most. In Matthew chapter 18, look at verse 21. On this occasion, Peter comes up to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, if my brother treats me wrong, how many times must I forgive him? You know the story. Is it seven times? Is it if my wife does me wrong, do I have to forgive her after I forgive her seven times? Can I let her have it the eighth time? You see, we count. And that's the fourth time you said that. That's the fifth time you said that. We're concerned with numbers. And Jesus says, Peter, if your wife, if your husband, if a brother or sister or person in the world does you wrong, seven times 70, you ought to what? Forgive them. Why? Because you love them. And then he gives a parable. And boy, this parable hits home. He says, there was a man that owed another man 10,000 talents. And it doesn't matter about the amount. It's an amount here that was unpayable. Let's assume it was $10 million. And you only make $20 a day. And you owe $10 million. How long would it take you to pay that off? Impossible, right? That's the point of this parable. And so he goes in. The man says, pay up, Sammy. And he says, I don't have it, sir. And back then, it would take your family, your wife, and everything you have as an atonement for that debt. And he fell on his knees and said, forgive me, master. I don't have it. Please have patience with me. I'll pay you. I'll do what I can. And guess what the man did? He forgave him. He forgave him of $10 million. $10 million. And then this man leaving, been forgiven of $10 million. As he's leaving, he sees Joe walking. And he said, Joe, hey, come here, Joe. It's so good to see you. Joe, come here, Joe. Joe owes him 100 pence, which is about, let's say, $2,000. He says, Joe, I want my $2,000. Joe said, I don't have it. The Bible says he grabbed Joe by the neck, the throat. Been forgiven of $10 million. Here's a man that owes him $2,000. He grabs him by the throat and says, I want my money right now. He says, I don't have it. What's the point of the parable? God has forgiven us of so much. It doesn't matter who's out in the world mistreats you. You forgive them. Whether they walk up to you and say, forgive me or not, you forgive them. What? 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Love will cover a what? A multitude of sin. When you love like God, you can forgive any sin. Amen? You can forgive any sin. And so Paul says the body is made of many members. And members have an obligation to one another. And one of the obligations we have to everybody in the world is to love. I plead with you today, leave here and say, God, how can I be a more loving person?